This world, it's not my home. I'm just a passing through. Well, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know, well, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what would I do?
Is that how you feel this morning? Amen. Just a little homesick to go. Amen. God bless you. We got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord this morning. I want to remember Brother Truman and Sister Carol. They're traveling this weekend. And also Brother Stephen and Sister Jennifer and their family. They're traveling this weekend. And Sister Sarah Gaddy, she's having back pain this morning. I want to remember her in prayer. And Brother Luke Nicholson, he's not feeling well this morning. I want to remember him. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. The Lord sees each one. Brother Jimmy, would you just come this morning and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just speaking to you this morning, O Lord, about the service here today. Lord, how grateful we are, Lord, to have a little place we can come and gather under your name. Lord, to bring our petitions before you, knowing, Lord, that you're more than able. That's the thought that come to my mind today, Lord, that you are more than able. And Father, as we lay these things before your feet, Lord, humbly, Lord, knowing that you're able. Father, we only believe, as your prophet taught us, Lord, that that's his theme, Lord, was to only believe. And Father, we believe that you're more than capable and more than willing to do what we ask far beyond anything we could think. And Lord, every need that was represented here today, Lord, by the raising of the hand, Lord, we ask you to move upon it. Lord, be in the continuance of this service, Lord. Let you be lifted high up, Lord. Lord, let our praises, Lord, ring out, that you would inhabit them, Lord, that you'd come amongst us, Lord. Send your angels, Lord, to protect us and watch over us, Lord. Be with the children, Lord. Lord, give them strength as they come out, Lord. And the Sunday school teachers, Lord, teach them, Lord, the ways that, Lord, they should go. And, Father, we teach them at home. Father, we just raise them up before you, Lord, and ask you to keep your hand upon them. And, Father, we just love you and appreciate you today. And, Lord, let us lift you up throughout the day today. Lead, guide, and direct every moment of this service, Lord, and we just put it into your capable hands, for you're more than able. Amen.
Good morning, saints. We're going to continue with, 55th chapter of Psalms this morning. I'm going to back up one verse, so we'll start with the 12th instead of the 13th. I had somebody ask me if I'd do that, and I said, let me read it. They've been going through a trial, and they said that had really fit their trial they were going through when we stopped last week. And they read the next verse or two, and they thought, my, how fitting that was. So they wondered if I would be agreeable to backing up one verse and read it and start from there rather than stopping in the middle of that thought. And I read it sitting over there, and I thought, yeah, that looks real nice. So we'll start with 12 and we'll read it through the end this morning then. And it reads like this: for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him.
But it was
we took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company.
Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them.
As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me.
Evening and morning and at noon will I pray aloud, and he shall hear my voice.
He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me.
God shall hear and afflict them, even he that buyeth gold, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God.
He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him, and he hath broken his covenant.
The word of his mouth was smoother than butter, but the poor was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords.
Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved, but out shall bring them down unto the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee.
Thou
God bless you, saints. Please be seated. A couple of things I'd like to say this morning. First of all, I'd sitting there watching the children come in and so forth, and I was thinking of, we had a little surprise party for a special friend over at Brother Yarbrough's Friday night. There was a sister and her children that came that visit us every so often, and there's been an occasion where I've had to correct her children. So usually when they're around, they kind of look at Brother Layton like, you know, and they kind of give me a little leeway or walk around a little. So they were there, and then they came over and told her to come by and pick up more bread and donuts. I didn't know she was going to be there, so I invited her and her husband. They came by yesterday evening. The boys were there. So they got to see Brother Layton in a different light, you know, and I don't think they'll be giving me sideward looks now. But my point of all that was I just wanted to tell the children that Brother Layton is proud of them, that you are doing a good job in behaving yourselves in the sanctuary and in the church itself. And I realize that you're children, and sometimes we all step out of line. Even I do sometimes, and the Lord has to correct me. So just wanted to let the children know that I am proud of them and their behavior and the way they come in and out and the way they behave. And I know outside they play, and that's the way it should be, and so forth. So we are proud of them, and we are thankful, and we don't have to. I think it's been quite a while since I've had to get on any of them. So that's nice. So Brother Layton is proud of you, and he does love you. Now, my main thing for being up here besides that, I'm sure glad I've got a pastor who gives me a little leeway here, or I'd be called in the office, you know, quite a bit. But the other thing is, yesterday we had I would call it kind of an impromptu meeting with the boards, the trustees, and the deacons and their wives here at the church, and the pastor and his wife. And we were able to present to the pastor a book on the history of the church. And Sister Christy Heron-Bassick put it together. I understand she spent over 200 hours on this book. And it's very well done, and the quality is very good. And we've got two copies, one for the pastor and one for the church, which Brother Nathan said to let all of you know he's going to put both copies out on the tables. And after service, if you want to go down and look through them, you're welcome to go down and look through them and see, find your picture if you want to. But for all of you that, I looked over and she's recording me. For all of you that contributed your pictures, your testimonies, your comments, we want to thank you on behalf of Brother Nathan and his family and the church as a whole. And this book goes from the time where he started in his house and then to the what they call the schoolhouse, which is the ladies' club up the road from VGR, and then over to the storefront, then over to the Methodist Church, and then here. If I understood it right, you were trying to get it out for the fifth year anniversary, but we ran a little over because of technical problems, shall we say. And so if you want to see the book, it's downstairs. I'm proud of it. And just to add my extra 2 cents in worth, I'm proud of our pastor. I'm an old man, and I know that. I'm 73 this month. Been in the message 53 years. Still learning. So children, don't think you ever get too old to learn, because Brother Layton is still learning. But I'm proud to have a pastor that, one, he shows love. I don't care if you agree with him or not. He loves you, and he shows it. He draws the circle bigger, as the prophet said to do. Two, he cares about his people. You say, what do you mean his people? His sheep. And I hope you look at it that way, because if this is your church, he's the pastor, and a pastor is a shepherd. He don't rule with an iron fist. He don't rule with a stick. He rules with love. He rules by example, and he rules by the word. And I've been around a long time. You don't see that very often. So I'm glad that we have a pastor at his age that God has given the maturity, the gift, the ability, the calling, and he's fulfilling it. And I'm proud, and I am proud to call him my pastor. Some people wonder about that, but, you know, He is the pastor. So we're proud of that, and we're thankful that God has set him here. We're thankful to be sitting here with him, to support him, to back him. This may be a strange comment, so Brother Nathan, don't get upset with me, but I've told my wife, I said, you know, I've been a pastor. I pastored for 3 years, and I know what it's like when I have somebody working against me. You know, if you preach a sermon you shouldn't have preached, you should have played a tape. If you played a tape, you played the wrong tape. So I know what that's like. So my point is this. If you ever think Brother Nathan is wrong, you go to him. Don't go through the church. If you don't feel you can go to him, come to me. But I'm going to warn you. I'm going to support him even if he's wrong. You say, how can you do that? Because if he is wrong, him and I will be in the office, in love, brother to brother, minister to minister, and we will talk about it. I won't talk to him as a deacon. You say, why? Because I'm a minister. And I will approach him as that and say, brother, you said this, or you done this, and here's what the prophet said, here's what the word said. But 5 years, I haven't seen that. I haven't had to. Now, little things he said, you know, I've done it. I said, Moses went into the ark one time in preaching. Well, come to find, and the pastor says, I want to find that quote, Brother Layton. I said, what? He said, where Moses went into the ark. I said, I didn't. He said, yes, you did. You know what? He called me up a couple of months later and he said, I found it. Well, it wasn't intentional. It was a mistake on my part, if you want to say it. But Brother Ram did say Moses went into the ark. But see, it was the spiritual ark. It was the ark Christ Jesus. But the point is, we can all do those kind of things, you know. And even Brother Branham did it. I've heard Brother Branham talk about a certain scripture in his sermon and look it up. And that wasn't it. Had nothing to do with what he was talking about. But you see, we can all do those things. So let's not get to the point where we want to nitpick every little bitty thing. Let's take it in the meaning it is given. And if it's a wrong scripture, sure, it's not wrong to let him know. Say, hey, brother, I couldn't find it. Did you misstate that or something? And he'll correct it if he did. So my point is, I believe that as a deacon and as a fellow minister in this church, supporting it, praying for it, and attending here, I'll support my pastor. Even if he's wrong, I'll defend him. But then him and I will talk. But that's because I love him and because I love the church and I don't want to see it hurt. So remember Brother Layton's famous saying, and it's in the book, Sister Christy. I appreciate that. Stay in love, stay humble, and stay on the word. God bless you.
In a manger long ago, well, I know it's really so, a baby save men from their sin. John saw him on the shore, the Lamb forevermore. Oh, Christ the crucified of Calvary. Oh, I love that man from Galilee, for he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins, place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. The publican went to pray in the temple there one day. He cried, oh Lord, be merciful to me. He was forgiven of every sin, and a deep peace came within. He said, come see this man from Galilee. Oh, I love that man from Galilee, for he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sin, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. The lame was made to walk, the dumb was made to talk. That power was spoken with love upon the sea. The blind was made to see. Well, I know it could only be the mercy of that man from Galilee. Oh, I love that man from Galilee, for he's done so very much for me. The whole Nicodemus came by night to know the way upright. He asked the Son of Man, what must he do? These words he said to him, ye must be born again by the Spirit of that man from Galilee. Oh yes, I love that man from Galilee, for he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sin, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. The woman at the well, he all her sins did tell, how 5 husbands she had at that time. She was forgiven of every sin, and a deep peace came within. Then she cried, come see this man from Galilee. Oh yes, I love that man from Galilee, for he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sin, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Oh yes, I love. All my sins, place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee.
Amen. Is that how you feel this morning? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Let's stand and sing this together this morning. Oh, there's a light in the window, and the tables spread in splendor. I know someone's standing by the open door. Oh, and I can see the crystal river. Lord, I know I must be near forever. Oh, 'cause I've never been this home. My family gather, those sweet faces so familiar, but no one's old or feeble anymore. Sometimes my lonesome heart gets crying. Church, I feel like spread my wings for flying, 'cause I've never been this home.
Him this morning. Sing it this way again. Oh, I can see my family gather, those sweet faces all familiar, but no one's
old or feeble anymore. And sometimes my lonesome heart gets to crying. Oh, I feel like spreading my wings for flying. 'Cause I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see, if I'm just about going home tonight. Oh, I can see my father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. Oh, and Lord, I've never been this homesick before.
Amen. God bless you. Is that how you feel this morning?
Amen.
Amen. I want to say I certainly appreciate the book that was given to me yesterday, and haven't had a chance to read the whole thing, but went through and read a lot of the statements and quotes and things and different families, their testimonies, how they came to the church and healings and things that's been done since, baptisms and baby dedications and just on and on, and just incredible to see what the Lord has done and to look and see it visibly where it's come from. And they reached out to several of the minister brothers that have been here as guest ministers and different things, and they wrote statements. And when I got to that part, I said, I can't read that here. When they gave it to me, I had to wait and read it when I got home, but I just knew it would get to me. But certainly appreciate it all. Appreciate the time that Sister Christy put into it and the work that the trustees did getting it all set up, and tried to pull one over on me to get the funds and things where I wouldn't know what was going on. But I had an idea, but I didn't know exactly what it was going to be. But certainly appreciate it, enjoyed it, and it really meant a lot to me. I'm sure there'll be times when you go through discouraging times and things, you know, sometimes valleys, to look back at some of those testimonies will certainly be an encouragement to me. So I appreciate that. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, this morning to Romans chapter 6. Just want to read one verse this morning before we get started. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. We'll come back to this later in the service, Lord willing, but just wanted to start with this verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're mindful of us, that you're mindful of our needs, Lord. Thank you for a people, Lord, that love you. And not only do they profess to love you with their lips, Father, but, Lord, we see how that they love one another. And, Lord, your word said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, when you have love one for another. Lord, not only those within these four walls, Father, but Lord, give us a love, Lord, for every person that would name the name of Jesus, for every person, Lord, that might not even know about it, Father, but that we would give us such a love that we would want to reach out, Father, and encourage somebody, help somebody along their way, Lord. And just ask you to give us more of you. Lord, you're the very essence of love. And I just ask that you'd be with us, Lord, that you'd give us more of you in our lives. Lord, may you just move on the scene this morning. Lord, you know there's many needs represented, but I just ask that you would speak to those needs, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for a group of people that stands for this word with everything that they have within them, Lord. And I thank you for brothers that are standing with me, Lord, minister brothers, many years my elder, Lord, that Brother Layton and Brother Hoover and Brother Arnie and Brother Buckles and all the different ones you've sent our way, Father, Lord, that they could stand, Lord, with a young man like myself, Father. I know it's your grace that would allow something like that to even happen. And Lord, the love that they've extended to me and the grace that they've shown, Lord, I just thank you for these brothers, Lord. Not only them, but every family that's represented here this morning. Lord, to look back at some of the memories and some of the testimonies and things that how you've brought us from a mighty long way, Father. And Lord, I thank you for all that you've done, for each life that's been touched. Lord, I thank you for it because it's been you, Lord. It's been something that human instrumentality can't produce, Lord, but to see the healings and salvation, filling of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, it's taken you every step of the way, Lord. It's been you that's done it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for being with us, for being our guide, Father, to lead us each step of the way. I pray that you would continue to lead us, Lord, until you come to take us home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. The church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. I want to look at this thought this morning on the great emancipator. And I know that there's some Civil War history buffs here that know a lot of these things a lot better than me, so it makes me nervous to stand here and try to present a few of them, but you just pray for me this morning. I believe it'll be a spiritual parallel that we'll look at. And there came a time, I want to look first of all at this word of emancipate. And Webster's English Dictionary says it means to set free, especially from bondage or slavery. And then dictionary.com, if you go there, it says to free from restraint, influence, or the like. So to be set free, whether it's from bondage or slavery, from restraint, from influence, from whatever it be, this means to be set free. Now, a lot of times we think that, you know, the Civil War was just fought over whether there should be slavery or not, but that's not really what took place. When Abraham Lincoln was elected the first time, the South seceded, or several of the states did, because Abraham Lincoln wasn't initially trying to abolish slavery, but what he was trying to do was with the Louisiana Purchase and a lot of the land grants and things that had taken place and expansion of the United States. There was this great Western expanse that they were going out, and Lewis and Clark had went out and explored it, and they had great plans for what they were going to do with some of these Western states, and he was trying to keep slavery isolated to the states where it already existed. Well, when he ran his campaign on that and he got elected, the South decided many of the states were going to secede from the Union because of that, because they didn't want slavery just contained where it was at. And you can look on both sides. It's amazing to me. You look and you see some of the great characters that were represented on both sides of the war. And many of these men were great, godly men. Brother Branham talked about Abraham Lincoln. I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, he was the 16th president of the United States. Brother Branham said he was the greatest president that we ever had. And then General Stonewall Jackson, he said he was the greatest general that had ever been on the face of the earth since Joshua in the Old Testament. So here we have these great heroes on both sides of this fight. And we had broke out into a civil war because of a division. Now, Stonewall Jackson, he didn't really get into the war because of the difference in slavery, but because the Union did not want the South to secede, they were starting to go in and invade some of the southern states to try to keep the Union together, and he didn't want them coming into their country, into their states, because each state kind of was sovereign and had their own ideas and what they wanted to do, and they were governing those in their own ways, and they didn't want them coming into their territory and telling them what to do, nor did they want them freeing the existing slaves, because they were afraid that if they freed the slaves that they would rise up and they would kill the slave owners and their families and their children. So he got into the battle because he didn't want them coming down and telling him what to do. And so these great godly men, with different reasons for being in this fight, with different reasons for what they felt led to do, many of them godly men, many of them God-fearing men that prayed and sought God for the decisions to make, and all of them felt like they were on the right side. But yet it was two very different sides. You say, well, if I was there, I would have picked this side. Well, that might have depended on where you was raised and what you was taught and what the conditions of your home was, your geographic location, and what somebody else had said to you or done to you. There could have been all kinds of different things. Sometimes it's not just as direct and cut and dry as we think it would be. But there were godly men on both sides. And many of these men, Jackson felt like he was literally just a tool in the hand of God, that God was using him to go out and to try to protect his home and his state. And Lincoln felt like he was a tool in the hand of God to go and do these things, to try to prevent slavery. And Brother Branham said it this way. He said that God made man, but that man made slaves. It wasn't God that had ever intended for there to be slaves, but now they were in this situation, and these great godly men stand up on both sides and begin to fight. Now, I want you to watch, because if we're not careful, we're going to be in another civil war around the message before long, if some of the statements keep being made that are made and some of the things keep being done that are done. But I want you to remember, Brother Branham said, no matter how thin you slice something, it's got two sides to it. No matter how thin you slice a piece of bread, it's got two sides to it. And many times on opposite sides, there's godly men standing there. I'd love to have been able to go up and shake Stonewall Jackson's hand. Yet if I'd been fighting just because of the purpose in those things, I would have probably been fighting for the North. But had I been living in one of those southern states and people came down and tried to slap me around and tell me what to do, I might not have liked that either. And then Lincoln, to be able to stand and shake a godly man like that, all that he did for our country, who's side could you have picked in that day? Both sides feeling like they were absolutely inspired of God, and both of them fighting in the name of God, and yet look at the division that there was between the two of them. Absolutely, totally different viewpoints, absolutely, totally different purposes. One of them wanting to draw away and be their own country, the other one wanting to keep the Union together. I wonder what would have happened in World War II when Hawaii was bombed there at Pearl Harbor, if we would have been split into two different countries, if we would have been able to survive Germany and Japan. So I thank God that we were kept a union. But yet there were great men that had these different opinions and were fighting for different purposes and different reasons. Godly men on both sides. Now, Jackson, one time Brother Branham quotes a portion of this in the message, but Jackson was talking to a friend who was complaining of the difficulty of obeying the scripture that you should pray without ceasing. And this is what Stonewall Jackson said to him. He said, "When I take a drink of water, I always pause as my palate receives the refreshment to lift up my heart to God in thanks and prayer for the water of life. Whenever I drop a letter into the box at the post office, I send a petition along with it for God's blessings upon its mission and upon the person to whom it is sent. When I break the seal of a letter just received, I stop to pray to God that he may prepare me for its contents and make it a message of good." This was the kind of men that these men were, that they thank God for every aspect of their life. Many times we do like the old pig sitting there and apples falling off the tree and hitting him in the head, and he sits there and eats them, but he never looks up to see where they come from. And many times we get blessed and blessed and blessed, and God does things in our life, and we forget to look up and remember where they're coming from in the first place. Amen. The blessings are coming from God. You say, "Oh, I worked hard. I did this. I got my education. I earned this. I deserve this. All my." There's many that have a better education than you that maybe they never prospered. But it's God's blessings that come to us. And it's God's blessings that provide for us. It's God's blessings that give us the breath of life in our body. And a man like Jackson could go, and every time he would take a drink of water, he was thankful that he had that drink of water. Oh my, we could use more men like that in this country. Maybe it wouldn't be in the place that it is. Now in Exodus chapter 21 verse 2, God is commanding through Moses here, teaching the children of Israel about slavery. And there's a lot of dispute about this, because they say, why would God make laws about slavery? Because God knew that men were going to have slaves no matter what he tried to do. And so he was putting these precepts into place to try to govern this and try to have a law about it. It wasn't God that made the slaves. It was man that made the slaves. But now God is trying to give them a way of doing this. And he says, "If thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the seventh, he shall go out free for nothing." Brother Branham makes this statement in Mark of the Beast in 1956. He says, "What a beautiful type of today. We poor, aliens, nothing we could do. If we kept every Sabbath, every new moon, quit eating meat, if we kept all kinds of days and done all kinds of religious sacrifice, we are under a load. We are sold in sin. Our parents sold us out to sin in the Garden of Eden. Didn't matter what we did. Didn't matter how good our works was. Didn't matter how many Sabbaths we could keep and how many times we could keep a chart of how many days we went to church in a month and how many tapes we listened to and how many verses we read and many of those things. There's a lot of people out in the denominations that could outdo us on a lot of the works when it comes to that. There's a lot of Catholics that could outdo us on works. There's definitely a lot of Muslims that could outdo us on a lot of works, but I'm not depending on my works, because they couldn't get me nothing. They couldn't get me nothing in the first place. All that I could do, yet I was sold into sin, a slave to sin, not because of what I did so much, but because of what took place in the Garden of Eden. Then I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies." And he says, we are later laden under the bonds of sin as a slave to the devil. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. There's nothing we can do to help us, because our whole makeup, our whole nature and everything we are is sin,
But then the Jubilee time comes that we are free. And the trumpet of God is the gospel, the good news. The trumpet was the gospel then, good news. He says, you're no longer bound. You no longer have to live in sin. You can go home and be free. You don't owe any debts at all. The whole emancipation of proclamation is done, signed, and you are free. Now, when Lincoln signed this, it wasn't very popular. In fact, a lot of people thought he was crazy. But yet when he signed this, he signed it not realizing it. He really signed his own death sentence because the South, realizing that they were defeated, they didn't want to admit it. They said the South will rise again, and men begin to come in and conspire to take his life. But yet when Christ signed our Declaration of Independence, or not Declaration of Independence, but our proclamation, the emancipation of our proclamation, he began to stand up and he recognized that it was going to mean his blood. Right. Lincoln may have suspected, people may have told him, you better not do that, those Southern boys will kill you. He may have suspected, but God knew when he sent his son to earth in a flesh body and he came and dwelt in him, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, he knew it was going to take his blood to sign this declaration. He knew it was going to take his blood to proclaim that we were emancipated. He knew what it was going to take to set us free. He says, and today when a man hears the good news, Christ died in your stead, nothing that you can do about it. Christ paid the price, the sound, the gospel sound. Now, when Lincoln signed this, a lot of the slaves couldn't even read. They didn't even know really what this meant. It came out in the newspapers and things, but there were many of them, they didn't understand. You know, they didn't have maybe somebody to read it to them. And his word began to spread through what was taking place. And some heard it this way and some heard it that way. And some were trying to keep them from hearing it. But yet there was a proclamation that was going forth, and it didn't matter. The slave owners could try to keep them from hearing it. They could try to keep it silenced. They could try to keep the newspapers away from them. They could try to keep them uneducated where they couldn't read it, but a proclamation was going forth and word was spreading like wildfire. I want to tell you this morning, Satan tried everything he could to keep you away from your proclamation. He tried to tell you you couldn't make it. He tried to tell you you wasn't predestinated. He tried to keep you to denomination. He tried to keep you back in the world, but a proclamation was going forth of what Christ had done, not only back there 2,000 years ago on Calvary, but what Christ was doing in this age. There was a proclamation going forth. It wasn't hid under a bushel on a mountaintop somewhere, but it was going forth, and thousands were seeing and hearing what was done, and it began to spread like wildfire that, you know what? Christ paid the price. You couldn't save enough to get yourself out of slavery. You couldn't do enough to get yourself out of slavery, but Christ had already paid the price. That was the gospel sound that was going forth. He said, you can drop every cigarette, every chew, tobacco, every whiskey bottle, everything that's binding you, and say, I'm free. This is the good news. Christ has made me free. Can you imagine when they got the news that the shackles that had been on them for years, maybe their great granddaddy was a slave. Maybe they'd been sold. Maybe they'd been brought over by boat, and all these different things they could look back. All they had known since a little child was to be a slave. They had never known what it was like to get up and go and do whatever they wanted to do. They got up and somebody told them what to do. And if they didn't do it fast enough, they got beat down. They got kicked around. They might get killed. They might be in threat of their families being killed or sold to other people. They didn't know what it was like to get up and stretch and say, well, I'm going to go do this today on the farm. I'm going to go do that. I'm going to choose what I'm going to do. But somebody else was choosing it for them. But there came a day when they decided, you know what? I heard this proclamation. I'm going to go out. My chains are gone. On, and I'm going to walk out. There's been something that's gone forth. I don't have to be bound by the old taskmaster that I used to be. I don't have to be beaten down anymore. I don't have to live by his rules anymore. I don't have to let him control me anymore. But I'm going to go out and I'm going to do what I want to do. But everybody's a slave to somebody. Everybody's a servant to something. There's a song that goes, you're going to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. We'll look at it in a little bit what Paul said about a lot of these people that are leaving the message saying they're free and they want their freedom. They want to do what they want to do. They're not free. They're just serving a different master than we are. I don't want to serve their master. A time came that they could drop the old plow. They could drop the bucket or whatever they were working with, they could drop it and walk off and recognize they were free. There was a time that you served a master. Maybe it was an addiction. Maybe it was a habit. Maybe it was something that was inherited down through generation to generation. Maybe it was a stubbornness. Maybe it was a temper. Maybe it was something that you inherited down through the line of your parents. And maybe it was a bitterness that had set in. Maybe it was some type of a front that you had put up, that you had developed a complex over something that had happened in your life, and you served that master, and you wanted to go and do this, and you wanted to go and do that, but that master of addiction, or that master of whatever it would be, a master of evil that was ruling over you, it became to a point to where you would get up and you would say, well, I'm going to go do this today, but that addiction would get involved, or the habit would get involved, and it would mess up your whole day. Or you would think, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to drop that temper. I'm going to drop that stubborn spirit. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this. And before noon, something had happened and you flew off the handle and you didn't know what had taken place. What was it? You were serving a master. You were a slave. You were a bound to something, but then one day came a proclamation that you're free. You don't have to be bound anymore by those things. Amen. You don't have to be bound by your addictions. You don't have to be bound by what you inherited from your parents, of whatever your nature trait is that you got from your granddaddy or your grandmammy or whoever it would be. There went a proclamation forth that you're free and you don't have to live that way anymore. What was it? It was the good news that Christ had already paid the price. He said, you're a free people. You don't have to go any longer. You don't have to serve the devil anymore, any longer. You can be free if you desire to be free.
Amen.
Now, you don't have to drink. You don't have to run around. You don't have to mistreat your wife. You don't have to curse. You don't have to lie. You don't have to steal. You don't have to be weary. Why? You've got the resources up yonder that's never been tapped, of the bountiful blessings of God that the world knows nothing about. He says, you say, I must have a little pleasure. Why, brother, if you ever hear the good news of the trumpet, the worldly pleasures seem so little. They're sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You don't need it no more. As I read the quote of, I think it was maybe Wednesday night, I can't remember exactly when it was, but Brother Branham talking about Brother Charlie Cox, how the conversation they had, and he said, Charlie, if you was a hog and you became a human, would you ever want to go back to being a hog? Absolutely not. You wouldn't want to go back and live in that condition, be down in the slop and the mud after you grows up to a place to where you could stand with a human intelligence clothed and in your right mind and be able to talk and be able to go about and create an event and do whatever you wanted to do. You wouldn't want to go back to being an old pig. And yet, in the sight of God, that's such a minute thing to what he did to us spiritually.
Amen.
Where you was once a pig, you was once all these things, your nature was geared to the wrong way, but then one day you recognized something. It brought you to a place to where you had been bound down by all those things, and you had lived in a condition that your thoughts were on this pig slop, and that's what you desired, and that's what you liked, whatever sin it was, whatever habit it was, whatever temptation it was, whatever carnal nature that disturbed you, all those things were a pull to you, and then one day you stepped up to a higher plane and you looked back and you thought, how on earth could I have ever lived down there in that condition? How on earth could I have ever stooped so low? What was it? A proclamation had went out that said, you're free. Exodus 21 verse 3, if he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If this slave comes in by himself and he's a slave, he sells himself into slavery to pay a debt or whatever, after the 6th year, on the 7th year when the Jubilee trumpet is sounded, if he comes in by himself, he'll go out by himself. But if he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. But, let's go on and read again verse 4. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. So if he came into this condition with the wife, he's going to go out of the condition with the wife. But if he came in and then his master that he was under slavery to gave him a wife and she bore him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he's going to go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or into the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. You say, what on earth does that mean, Brother Nathan? It means what Jesus said in St. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Amen. You can go and you can say, well, you know, I got caught up. I was out here and you know, I was under the taskmaster. And while I was out here, you know, this is why the Bible teaches us not to be unequally yoked. Because you get out there sometimes and you get in trouble and you get in sin. And then you get yourself hooked up to something. You get yourself in a situation. And then you've got to make a decision. Do I come back to the Word or do I stay out here? Do I love this more? Do I love these worldly things? Do I love the worldly desire more? What's worth more to me? Am I going to stay a slave forever? Am I going to serve those things? Or am I going to walk away and say, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's my wife. I don't care if it's my children. I don't care if it's my mommy. I don't care if it's my daddy. I don't care if it's my friends. I don't care if it's my popularity or my riches or my job or whatever it would be, my houses, my wealth, whatever. I don't care. That's nice. But if it's that or Jesus, I don't care about that. You can stay a slave or you can be free. But many times you can't drag all that other stuff with you and leave a slave, or leave free rather. You can keep all this back here holding you back and tying you and keeping your ear bored to the wall, saying I'm a slave forever. Or you can lay that aside and say, Lord, I believe you can still provide me all those things. I believe you can work all that out. But I'm going to follow you regardless of what anybody else does. I'm going to take up my cross and follow you, whether it's popular, whether it's criticized, whether it's misunderstood, whether it's understood, whatever it would be. I'm leaving all that back behind me, and I'm taking up my cross and I'm following you. I don't care what anybody says. I appreciate opinions. I appreciate people. But it comes to a place to where it's got to be you and Jesus. It's got to be you and Jesus, not what mommy said, not what daddy said, not what granddaddy or grandmommy said. Brother Raymond said, God don't have no grandchildren. It's got to get to a spot to where it's you and Jesus and everything else. Lord, I ask that you bring all this in with me if you can. Bring my family in. Bring my children in. Bring my wife in. Bring my parents in. Bring this one in. Bring that one in. That's wonderful, but I'm going with you regardless of all that. I'm going with you regardless of who turns away and who stays and who goes and who comes, whatever. I'm staying with you. I want to be free this morning. I don't want to stay a slave because something back here lured me back or because something was unpopular and I gave in to popularity or because some family member did something or some friend did something and I sympathized with it. No, I want to stay right in the middle of the road walking towards Calvary. Be not unequally yoked, St. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Let me stop. Some of you, you're already wherever you're at. Either you made the right choice or you made the wrong choice or whatever it is. There's not a whole lot I can do about that. But let me take a few moments for our young people, if that's all right. Satan would love to get you in this condition if he can. He'd love to get a pretty set of eyes out there in the world at your job or at your school or wherever it would be. He'd love to get them to bat those eyes at you and say, oh, you know, it's so much fun to be with you and let's do this and let's do that and get you in a situation to where you're unequally yoked and just destroy your life. He would love to do that. Because then he's got you on the fence that you've got to make a decision. Are you going to serve that person? Are you going to serve that relationship? Are you going to serve their way of thinking? Or are you going to serve God? And he's got you right there on the fence, and that's where Satan wants to have you because he owns the fence. He'd love to get you in a condition to where, some cute little denominational girl, well, she believes in Jesus, not the Jesus you do. She might believe in a Baptist Jesus or a Methodist Jesus or a Catholic Jesus, but we didn't even know who Jesus really was till a prophet of God came and showed it to us. Amen. We thought he was one like our finger, or we thought he was three like a pagan religion. And then a prophet of God came and explained it, oh, but they love Jesus too. They don't even know the Jesus that you serve, really. He'll have grace for them. He'll wink at their ignorance, many of them. But don't join up to something that doesn't even understand what you believe or what you think and is going to weigh you down and pull you away and make you compromise. Don't think that just goes out into the denominations, but there's plenty of little message girls and little message boys that don't believe the same thing that you do. Some of them don't believe in going to church. Some of them don't believe in ministers. Some of them make fun of the tapes. Some of them take this and take that and take this portion and not that portion. You better be careful that you don't get unequally yoked. A lot of times we put that off in the world or off in the denominations, but it comes right down into the message where I've seen divorces, even some friends and different things get divorces because one stood on this side and one stood on that side and a civil war in the message and their marriage couldn't survive it. Why? They were unequally yoked. They looked at a pretty face and a pretty figure, and as I've said before, that's all right. I don't think you should just get married, you know, with no attraction. I thank God that I was attracted to my wife. But, you know, those type of things, as I've said, you go down to the nursing home, and there's not anybody attractive at the nursing home. Some of you young men that are trying to find a wife, or some of you women that are trying to find a young man, I guarantee you, aside from the graveyard, it's the last place that you'll go looking. There's nothing attractive down there. So it's got to be more than just attraction. It's got to be more than a pretty face and a pretty figure. That's all right, but don't tie your relationship on that. Don't tie your marriage on that, because that'll fade. It's got to be more than some good times that, oh, we have some good laughs together. Hey, there were plenty. I don't want to get my wife mad at me this morning, Brother Jeff, but there were plenty of girls that I could have some good laughs with as a young man. We laughed and we went out to eat and different things, but there was one woman that God had created to be mine that would stand with me in my ministry, that would stand beside me and support me. I could have been in some messes, Brother Isaac. I could stand here and testify about that for about 6 hours of some messes that I would have got myself into, but it was him protecting me. There was a gift in my life that God was watching over, but you may not have that same protection. You better be careful that God doesn't permit something to take place to teach you a lesson. Oh my, I'm so thankful that he protected me. I'm so thankful that he watched over me, that many times when I would have went the wrong way, he just blocked it off. He would let me go so far and then he would just block it off, say, nope, that ain't going to happen. What was it? He had somebody for me. Brother Bram said it this way. He said, there's someone for you. Just wait. I told a girl that she was about my age, oh, I don't know, 5 or 10 years ago. She was all worried. She thought she was becoming an old maid. And she said, oh my, I got to find somebody. She was looking inside the message and outside of the message and everywhere. And I said, Brother Bram said, there's someone for you. Just wait. And she did. She waited till the divorce paper ink was dry in somebody else's marriage and went and got her a man. But I don't know how it's working out for her. There's someone for you, just wait. You young people, don't get discouraged. There's someone for you, just wait. Wait till you know it's the right one. Wait till you know it's the one that can raise those children under the same rules and same principles that you want to raise them under. Don't be sold into slavery to where your whole life is just spent arguing with somebody, with a man or a woman, whatever it would be. You boys marrying a girl or some girl marrying a boy, that you spend your whole life arguing over how to raise your children and where to take them to church and what to teach them and what principles to put in them and where you're going to send them to school, or if you're going to send them to school, or if you're going to homeschool them or send them to public school, or what type of toys they're going to play with and what type of movies they're going to watch. You think that's silly, but there's people divided in this message over these type of things right now. We live in one of the craziest areas that's ever been, in one of the craziest times that's ever been. But I'm proud to live here because it's where the word went forth from. And Brother Bram said with the United States, he said, you know, he said, I'm identified with all of her glory and all of her shame. He said, I stood there with Washington when he crossed the Delaware. I stood there with Stonewall when he stood there. And they said, look at Jackson. He stands like a stone wall. He said, I stood there when they rang the bell for independence. I stood there when they signed the Declaration. I stood there when they signed the Emancipation. I was represented with all of her shame and all of her glory. I stand the same way this morning with a message that the geographic location, whatever it would be, let them say what they want, let them do what they want. I'm proud to believe it. And I'm proud to stand here. I'm not proud of all of the fanaticism that goes on around it, but we can't help that. It's going to be. In fact, Brother Bram said that was one of the things that you know, vindicated the message, was because in Wesley's days and in Luther's day, when Luther stood there, they wrote and they said, said it wasn't such a great thing that Luther could protest the Catholic Church and get away with it, but that he could hold his head above all the fanaticism that went around it. Right. It's hard to hold your head above some of the fanaticism that goes on in this area and some of the stories that get told, some of the things that get wrote in the newspaper that we go down every Easter and wait for Brother Branham to raise from the dead and things like that get told and on and on. I had a guy sitting there and I was getting my hair cut one day and he said, "Well, did the eagle take flight this Easter?" I thought, this is the last haircut you get from me. If I'd have been a little older and wiser, I would have said a few things back to him, but I just kept my mouth shut and said, "Never again." That's the last $12 he gets from me. All kinds of fanaticism, all kinds of things that raise up and that get said and that get projected and the worship of a man and all these different things that get tacked onto us. Why? Because there's a minority that does those things. And they're the fanatics that everybody looks to, because usually they're the ones that witness the best. Isn't that sad? What a rebuke to us. Some of these that have fanatical ideas way off in left field or right field or whatever it be, and you see them down at McDonald's and Arby's and Hardee's and places witnessing their hearts out. It ought to put us to shame. That if we would live our light a little brighter, some of these other things would be so quiet the people would know they were ridiculous. Now a yoke, Paul said, be not unequally yoked. And a yoke is something that they would put on any type of animal that was that type of animal that could pull an ox or a donkey or a horse or whatever it would be. They would put the yoke many times on two or more. Sometimes with a stagecoach, they would have a yoke with bars running through it with maybe six horses, eight horses, whatever it would be. But usually a yoke was two animals, an ox, two ox, or a couple of cattle or whatever it would be. And they would put this yoke around their necks of the oxen or the cattle, and they would pull a wagon or whatever it would be, or pull a plow or a load. And the reason that this yoke was placed upon them was so that they could equally pull the load together. So when you're yoked to something, it's about pulling in the right direction. If two cattle or two oxen or whatever it is are yoked together, and this one's pulling that way and this one's pulling that way, it's going to be a mess and you're not going to get anywhere unless one of the oxen is a lot stronger than the other one and he just drags the other one along because he's yoked to him. And, you know, I don't want to go this way, but that's the direction he's going. He's the stronger one. That's how a lot of marriages are. I don't want to go to this church, or I don't want to go, I don't believe the message anymore, but the stronger yoke is dragging me, or well, you know, I still love the Lord, but, you know, the stronger yoke's dragging me out, watching movies I shouldn't watch, and going to parties I shouldn't go to, and drinking things I shouldn't drink. Why? Because the stronger yoked one is dragging me. It's still on, isn't it, Brother Hoover? Okay, I just wanted to check and make sure. Yoked together to pull the same load. Oh my, that's what a marriage should be. Pulling the same load together in the same direction. You better make sure you're heading in the same direction before you get yoked up with something. That doesn't just go with marriages. That goes with friendships. That goes with churches. That goes with your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now that sounds like a picnic, doesn't it? I'm going to give you rest. Oh, now I can just sit back and I can procrastinate and I can be lazy. And no, read the next verse. "Take my yoke upon you." Now, wait a minute. I thought you said you were going to give me rest, but now you're saying, "Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He didn't promise there wouldn't be any burden. He didn't promise there wouldn't be any yoke. He promised it's going to be easier than serving your old master, what he tried to do. Now, your old master, it might have seemed easy for a while. Maybe it seemed like he was just skating downhill. And then all of a sudden, you know, all that alcohol you'd been drinking, you started having liver failure, and all those cigarettes you'd been smoking, you started having lung cancer, and all those relationships you'd been having, you started getting all kinds of diseases, and you recognized that the taskmaster was a little harsher than you thought he was. Everything looked wonderful, and he painted a pretty picture, but the penalty thereof was death. Oh, sin's pleasant for a season, but the end thereof is death. And Jesus comes and he says, let me give you some rest. You that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why? Because instead of being yoked to the world or being yoked to some fanaticism or some man-made doctrine or whatever, when you're yoked with him, he's the one that's helping you pull the load. He's the one that's pulling the load with you. Suddenly, the load gets a little lighter. Didn't say there wouldn't be a burden. Didn't say there would be trials, but said he'd be the one that was yoked to you, pulling the trials along with you. Oh, I'm so thankful to be yoked to him this morning. St. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? They had forgot a few things. They had forgot a few things. They said, oh, we're Abraham's seed. We never was under bondage. What about Egypt? What about Babylon? What about the Roman Empire that they were under right then? They said, we're free. They just thought they were free. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant to sin. Oh, but I'm free. No, you're a servant to sin. Oh, now I'm free to wear my pants and cut my hair and wear my shorts and my bikini. No, you're not free. You're just a servant to sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now, did Paul contradict Jesus when he said in Philemon chapter 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ? I thought whoever served the Son was free, and he was free indeed, but yet Paul says he's a prisoner. You just don't understand what freedom is. You say, oh, I want to do whatever I want to do. Well, you get the right nature, you can do whatever you want to do. Amen, because real freedom is doing what he wants us to do. Real freedom is knowing that you're in the perfect will of God. I've never felt freer than some of the times I'm up here in the presence of God. Come down, I feel like I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. Many times it's not even me. I don't know what I'm doing or what I'm saying or what I'm about to do. And I think, Lord, you do whatever you want to do. What is it? A servant. A prisoner of Jesus Christ. But I'd rather be in his perfect will, knowing that I'm walking in his will, knowing that my desire is his desire, praying and seeking, oh Lord, let my desire be so unto your desire until I don't have any desire anymore. Right. Let my thought be so unto your thought to where I don't have any thought anymore. That's what these slaves were out there. They had no desire of their own. Oh, they might have had it, but they weren't going to get it. Oh my, I'd like to marry this one. Brother Bram said they'd marry these two together because they thought they would breed better like animals. Oh, I'd like to have this. I'd like to have that. I'd like to own my own plantation someday. But they were bound. They were a servant. They had no thought coming of their own. They had no desire coming of their own. They had no wish coming of their own until an emancipation went out and proclaimed that they were free. But how careful we must be. Many times when we think we have freedom and we think, well, I'm going to do what I want to do and bless God, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You're not free. You're a servant to sin. But I'd rather be a prisoner to Christ than a prisoner to sin any day. A prisoner to Christ to where my thinking and my desires get so in tune with him that I can do whatever I want to do. I want to get so in tune with Christ, Brother Hoover, that I can watch anything I want to watch on the television. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, he's not very legalistic. He just watches anything he wants. That's right. I want to get to that place where I can watch anything I want to watch because I'm so in tune with him that I wouldn't watch anything that would be unpleasing to him. Right. I want to get so in tune with him to where I can go anywhere I want to go because it wouldn't be unpleasing to him. I want to get so in tune with him that I could say anything I want to say, Brother Lee, because I wouldn't ever say anything contrary to what he would say, what he would want me to do. A prisoner to Jesus Christ. You say, that's not freedom. Oh, it's the greatest freedom you'll ever know. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Paul explains it a little better than I can. He says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are. Whoever you yield yourself to, you can yield yourself to God or you can yield yourself to the devil. Whoever you yield, to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are. To whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Amen. Now you were a servant to sin, but now you became a servant to righteousness. You say, oh, I'm still just a servant, but to what better thing? Amen. Now you're a servant to something that's going to give you eternal life. Now you're a servant to something that's going to give you an inheritance. Now you're a servant to something that's going to provide for you, that's going to heal you when you're sick, that's going to encourage you when you're down, that's going to lift you up when you're downtrodden, that's going to be a comfort to you when nobody else can comfort you. You're a servant to that, where before you was a servant to something that was trying to kill you and send your soul to hell. You were a servant unto sin, but you became the servant of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Oh, they say, we're free. That's right. Free from righteousness. Free from holiness. Free from deliverance, free from victory, free from peace, free from joy. I don't want that kind of freedom. Amen. When you were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. All your big plans and all your big to-dos and all you thought you was somebody, what fruit was in that? Now you're ashamed of those things because the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You were serving a master before that all your wages was to die and go to hell. Now you're serving something that the wages is a free gift. Of eternal life, that you don't have to earn it, you don't have to pay for it, it's already been paid for. He already paid the price. Jesus says in St. John 19, verse 30, you want to know when my emancipation proclamation was? Jesus said, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, when he said this, it was just a proclamation, it was just a declaration that it was finished. He died at Calvary. He shed his blood at Calvary. When Lincoln sent forth this proclamation, it was only a proclamation demanding what he wanted the people to do, but it wasn't yet a law. It wasn't yet something that was set in stone that all the states had to obey. Many of the states were excluded from the Emancipation Proclamation. But after Lincoln had died and his body was in the grave, there came forth a group of men that they began to sit down and begin to draw up a ratification of the 13th Amendment. And in December 1865, the ratification of the 13th Amendment made slavery illegal everywhere, subject to the United States jurisdiction. Now, what was a proclamation had become fact. What was a proclamation? What was a cry from the president to make it so? Now it had become law. Now it had become a part of the very thing that we were standing for. Now it had been written in the record books and sealed away to where it was something that nobody could come and change and just throw it out the window. It was a part of the very thing that we stood for. Jesus had said it is finished. He had made the proclamation, but yet that didn't prove anything. Pilate could sit there and say, well, his life is finished, but he wasn't talking about his life.
Right.
Pilate could stand there and say, well, he was a good man, I didn't find any fault with him, but he was more than a good man.
Right.
Herod and the different ones could stand there, and the different high priests, they could stand there and look and say, well, thank goodness that it's finished. Thank goodness he's not driving us crazy in our synagogues, and he claimed he was this and he claimed he was that. And they could say all kinds of things. The devil could sit there and say, oh my, he boasted, but now he's down there in a borrowed tomb. He thought he was the Son of God, but now there he is, didn't even have money to buy his own tomb, had to borrow a tomb. And the devil was having a little party down in hell. And he invited all of his friends and invited everybody. And my, they were just whooping it up. Oh, my, we've got him. Oh, my. I thought I had him when I got Daniel. And I thought I had him when I got David. But now we sure got him. And all of a sudden, there came a knock at the door. The emancipation had gone forth. But now it was more than just a saying. Now it was more than just a statement or something just written on the page. Now he had rose and he had conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he stood and he said in St. John 19, when Jesus, sorry, wrong verse, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. If Satan had known what he was going to do, was going to put this in effect, he would have did everything he could. He would have killed every Roman soldier that was walking up there. He would have destroyed every cross and every nail in the community. He would have burned them. He would have torn them apart. He would have did everything he could to prevent them from hanging that man up on the tree. But he didn't believe he was who he said he was until he proved it. And now it was more than just a saying. Now it was more than just a proclamation. Now he stands and he says, all power is given in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Now he stands more than a proclamation, but now it's a law. Now it's something that our entire Christian experience is built upon. Now it's something that we're resting on. Why? Because if there's no resurrection, then what are we? We're men most miserable.
Right.
But because he lived, we'll live also.
Amen.
That's why Paul, if Jesus had just said it is finished and they put him in the grave and that was all there was to it, it wouldn't have been any more than any of these other great men that have lived down through the ages, philosophers and different things that they've put in the grave, and they had great teachings and things. But when he came forth, it was more than a man. It was more than a proclamation. It was something that could let St. Paul stand in 1 Corinthians and say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The sting of death is sin, and he just came and paid the price to take my sins away.
Amen.
The sting of death is sin, and I'm not a servant to sin no more, but I'm a servant to righteousness.
Amen.
There was, when this Emancipation Proclamation went forth, on December the 31st of 1862, the slaves gathered because the next morning was when this was going to go into effect. January the 1st, 1863. If I said 19 a minute ago, then I apologize. I don't know if I said 18 or 19. Did I say 18? Thank you. December the 31st, 1862. You talk about a watch night service. New Year's Eve. Most of these, I've got a picture of it here that a man drew of it, waiting and having a watch night, watching for the hour to come. Many of them had never known what freedom was. They had known nothing but a slave belt. Many of them for generations, their daddy had been a slave. Their granddaddy had been a slave. And now they were having a watch night service, December the 31st, 1862, waiting for this proclamation to go into effect. On the very next day, a New Year's Eve, you talk about a New Year's resolution. You talk about a change of the old to something new. I like the way Brother Branham describes it here, letting off the pressure. He said, I was reading sometime about the Emancipation Proclamation when the slaves, the colored brethren and sisters in the South, when they used to have slavery, and when the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, they'd been whipped and beat and so forth and been slaves, and we know what happened. They said a certain morning, I don't remember the date just now, but that's the morning that you're going to be free, and you'll be free at sunup. When the sun rises, all the slaves could go free. Those poor, decrepit, hard-beaten slaves were so anxious to be free till the strongest of them climbed way up to the top of the hill. The women and the weaklings come on down. One's not quite so strong, climbed down a little further, and the women and the children. And the great big huskies that was able to go all the way up to the top, they stood there before day. And they looked and they looked until after a while they began to see the streaks of sun rising. It was still dark in the valley. There were some that rose up a little bit higher that they began to see the rising of the sun. I'm not just talking about the S-U-N, I'm talking about the S-O-N. And they began to recognize, we're free. We're free. I don't care what my master says. He's my ex-master now. I don't care what the governor says. I don't care what anybody says. We're free. And they began to see it and they began to rejoice. But it was still dark down in the valley. There was still some that hadn't heard. There was still some that hadn't caught the vision. There was still some that hadn't received the revelation that they were free. And it wasn't just enough for them to stand up there and rejoice and say, I'm free. But they began to tell down the mountain, you're free too. He didn't just come to set me free. He came to set you free and you and you and you. They relayed it down. One hollered from the top, we're free. The next one hollered down, we're free. All the way down to the valley, we're free. The sun's up. When he rose from the grave, there went forth a messenger in that first age, and he proclaimed, we're free. He had seen the rising of the sun. And then that light began to shine a little further into the darkness of the second church age, and there came up a second church age messenger, and he began to cry, we're free. The sun has rose. And it went from the second to the third to the fourth to the fifth to the sixth to the seventh, and all those following those messengers, Brother Bram said that, oh my, those that were under those messengers became the voice of their age after that messenger was gone, and on and on and on it went to where it came through the body, this elected seed to this predestinated seed to that foreknown own seed, all the way down to where we're sitting here in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, because somebody ran to the top of the hill and said, the sun has rose and we're free. We don't have to be bound anymore. You don't have to have the belt of the taskmaster anymore. You don't have to have the chains of doubt and unbelief anymore. You don't have to be beat down by the enemy anymore and say that you'll never make it or that you was never predestinated. You're free this morning. And word began to come down the hill, and it began to go down. And people didn't just sit there and say, well, I've arrived, so I don't need it for anybody else. But they began to remember how they felt when they was a slave, and they wanted to tell somebody else about it. When you really get this, it won't make you hide out in your living room with your Snickers bar and a tape recorder. It'll make you want to go out into all the world and tell somebody else about the light that came in this age. It'll make you want to go tell somebody else, did you know we're free? Did you know we're restored back because God sent light in this age through a prophet of Malachi 4? I don't want to hide out in my basement or in my closet and not spread it, but I want to tell somebody else we're free. Amen. And who the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. Word began to trickle down through the hill. They begin to rejoice. They begin to shout. They begin to cry. They begin to weep. And people wonder why we get emotional. It ought to make us emotional to recognize that we're free. That you were bound in sin. In fact, you were born in sin, like they were born into slavery. You were shaped in iniquity. You come to the world speaking lies, but then a light came and said, you're free. You don't have to live that way anymore. You don't have to be bound to the things that you was bound to. You don't have to be a slave or a servant to the things of unrighteousness, but instead we're a servant to righteousness. You don't have to be bound down by the things that you once gloried in that now you're ashamed of, but there's a better life for you. Amen. Why a proclamation had went forth. Amen. The Lamb and the Dove, 1957. He said, when that direct revelation comes from heaven, that Christ is your emancipator. That when he has become your savior, your deliverer, and that is anchored in your heart, all the devils in torment will never make you deny it. Amen. All the devils in torment can't pull you away from this once you recognize he's your emancipator. You say, I've tried, Brother Nathan. I've gone to church. I was raised in the message. I've gone to the altar. I've prayed. I've did this. I've did that. I've attended every church service that I could. I've listened to this many tapes. I've done this. I've done that. But many times we fail to recognize you're already free.
Amen.
He already paid the price.
Yes, sir.
It's wonderful to do those things. I believe in going to church. Hey, man, I hardly miss a service. I believe in listening to tapes. I'd be somewhere out here in the denominations of some Pentecostal preacher or something if it wasn't for them tapes. If it wasn't for a prophet of God coming and dedicating his life and toiling and traveling and giving his life for this message, I'd still be out there in blindness and darkness. I believe in those things. But I can never do enough of those things. I can't attend church enough to be free. I can't listen to enough tapes to be free. I can't pray enough to be free. I can't do enough good works to be free. I can't witness enough to be free. I'm already free.
Amen.
He already paid the price.
Glory.
It's just whether you can accept it or not. Amen. Remember when the man deserted there in the war, Brother Bram tells the story, and they were going to hang him for desertion, and his mother wrote Lincoln and pleading him to pardon him, and Lincoln wrote out a pardon, signed it with his own name, sealed it, sent it there, and the man said, don't get me all worked up and upset. Said, you know, if it was Lincoln's letter, it would look like this, and it would be like that, and he couldn't accept it in the way that it come. Many of them couldn't accept it through a seventh grade educated Kentuckian. They couldn't accept it in the way that it came. Many of them couldn't accept it as a baby in a manger or whatever way it came to them. They couldn't accept it, but he couldn't accept the letter, and so they went ahead and hung him, and it went all the way up to the Supreme Court, because they said this man was killed, but yet he was pardoned by the president, and they determined that a pardon is not a pardon unless it's received as a pardon. You can go back and you can say, sorry, I love the taskmaster, I love my slave owner better than I do this emancipation. I love my ways. I just bore a hole in my ear and tie me to the wall. I'll just be a slave forever. No, not me. He who the Son has set free is free indeed.
Amen.
There ain't nothing back there that can tie me down. There ain't nothing. Johnny Crow, Brother Bram said, you're free. Amen. You might have been bound down so long that it took you a while to realize you was free. Maybe you was bound down in a message church and it was so legalistic you had to go two steps forward and three steps backwards, and almost like a Catholic tradition of doing this and saying amen this way and doing all that. And you was so bound down even in a message church that it's taken you a while to break out and realize you're free.
Amen.
You're free. You don't have to be bound anymore, because who the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. I'm thankful for the emancipation. I'm thankful that I've recognized that my great emancipator has come and has freed me from the chains of sin and death and hell, that I don't have to be bound anymore because he set me free. Amen. If the musicians would come this morning. Are you thankful that you're free this morning?
Amen.
I couldn't pay it. You couldn't pay it. No prophet, priest, or king could pay it, but he paid a debt. He didn't even owe the debt, but he paid it for me so that I could go free. Amen. Let's sing this together this morning. Amen. Oh, you can lock me in a prison, oh, and throw away the key, oh, you could take away the vision from these eyes now can see, or deprive me of the food I eat, and even bind my hands and feet. Oh, but as long as for you.
never could quite understand why a king wanna leave his throne. Flesh and bone, then to later trod that lonesome path that led to Calvary. That's where his blood red stains, they broke.
As news begin to trickle down the hill, you're free. The rejoicing, the screaming, the crying, the praising, all the wringing of hands, the running, telling one another, we're free, we're free. Running to find this one and running to find that one. I got to find so-and-so. I got to find my wife. I got to find my daughter. We're free. Oh, my. You're free this morning. I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care what anybody says. You're free. Because he sets you free. I don't care what the devil tries to come and rob you of, you're free this morning. He may have tried to bind you up with things from your past. He may have tried to bind you up with things of the world. You're free. Oh my, what a proclamation. Oh my, I wonder if we can just get out a handkerchief or a songbook or something. Let's give him a wave offering this morning. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. He came and paid the price that I couldn't pay. Oh, my. He said that I could still go free. Didn't matter what I did. Didn't matter where I came from. He said, you can still go free. Why don't you make it personal to you this morning? He emancipated you. He came and freed you from the bondage of sin, death, and hell, and the grave. Oh, my. Let's worship him this morning. He said that I could still go. Tell me what kind of a man.
not leave his throne. Oh, just to don an old robe of an earthly man, feel the pains of flesh, flesh and
Blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, Jesus is the name. My Jesus is the name.
Bless you, saints. Brother Nathan wanted me to remind you the books will be downstairs if you want to look at them after church. And I think that the Layton family blessed us with some more carbs down there. There's some donuts and English muffins and some healthy bread as well. Before we go, I'm going to ask Brother Hoover if he'd come up and just dismiss us in prayer.
Father, we just want to say thanks as we get ready to leave the sanctuary, Lord. Lord, we're dispersing and going our separate ways, but Lord, we don't want this presence to leave us. We want you to follow after us and ride with us in the cars. Lord, we want to remember, Lord, what was ministered to us this morning, Lord, this freedom that we had, the price that was paid for it, Lord. Lord, that you set us free, free to live in your righteousness, Lord. What a marvelous thing, Lord. Our minds can't even comprehend it. We can't fathom, Lord, all that you did for us. But we just want to worship, Lord, in what we do understand of it and what we do enjoy of it and what we do have a sense of. And Lord, we just ask that you would go with us now and help us, Lord Jesus, to reach out to a brother or sister that might not be free yet, Lord, and to let them know, Lord, that they're free in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, just go with us now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you, saints. Let's sing that as we go.